Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Welcome to our worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. And it is a beautiful day. It has been a beautiful weekend. I know that you are aware of the extraordinary events in Europe, the floods, and the growing awareness of the effects of climate change on our planet. I know also that you're aware of numbers rising of COVID infections. And it is hard, isn't it, to hold on to what is good when we are faced with these great big challenges. I also know that many of you are bravely coping yourselves with challenges. Deep grief for people you have lost. A void left by ones you have deeply loved. And that is so painful and also such hard work. There are more of you also who are just struggling with minor ailments, but that takes energy also. And there are other sadnesses in our lives. But the sun does shine. Our God is a good God. And I want us to begin today with a great shout of faith, a great statement of trust in our God. Let us sing together. All our hope in God is founded.
Thank you.
first reading today is one of my most favourite bits of the books of Samuel. It's about David's wish to build a temple for God and God's response to that. Let's hear it now.
The reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, beginning to read at the first verse. King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord kept him safe from all his enemies. Then the king said to the prophet Nathan, "Here I am living in a house built of cedar, but God's covenant box is kept in a tent." Nathan answered, "Do whatever you have in mind, because the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord said to Nathan, "Don't tell my servant David that I say to him, 'You are not the one to build a temple for me to live in.' From the time I rescued the people of Israel from Egypt until now, I have never lived in a temple. I have travelled round living in a tent. In all my travelling with the people of Israel, I never asked any of my leaders that I appointed why they had not built me a temple made of cedar. So tell my servant David that I, the Lord Almighty, say to him, 'I took you from looking after sheep in the fields and made you the ruler of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have defeated all your enemies as you advanced. I will make you as famous as the greatest leaders in the world. I have chosen a place for my people Israel and have settled them there, where they will live without being oppressed anymore. Ever since they entered this land, they have been attacked by violent people, but this will not happen again. I promise to keep you safe from all your enemies and to give you descendants. When you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will make one of your sons king and will keep his kingdom strong. He will be the one to build a temple for me, and I will make sure that his dynasty continues forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son."
Thank you, Mavis. As the story of the second book of Samuel unfolds, you will see how really special David's relationship is with God. And I think here we have a kind of essence of that, God wanting to protect that relationship. He does later honour his promise to David's son, but really in the end it is because Solomon is David's son. The closeness of God and man is lost. David, for all his faults, truly loves God, and there is a kind of childish simplicity to that love. "I've got a house, God too should have a house." And you can almost feel God's joy in that. But he doesn't respond in an expected way at all. God says he's never asked for a house. He has, and one assumes he's saying he has preferred to travel about. The thing about a tent is that you can move on. You're not tied. The world is your oyster. You're untrammelled. He talks of travelling from Egypt with his people, finding them a safe land, coming to meet David in the fields with his sheep, leading him out on the battlefield. This is a God who wants to be by our side in all the vicissitudes of life. To say we must let God be free should be a ridiculous thing to say, because of course God is freedom itself. But in our minds, I think we do trammel what we worship. We have a place where we worship. We think you have to be a certain sexuality in order to worship. We think you have to understand what the Trinity means to worship. In fact, we offer people a bullet-pointed list of things to believe and make them say it before they can worship fully with us, when actually we all know it's in the living with God, in our days, in our challenges, in our sorrows and joys, encountering God's goodness and blessing in all the different parts of our life. That builds our trust and deepens our awareness and understanding. God does not want his relationship with David to be put into a box and saved until Sundays or until the mood takes us. He wants to travel with us along the path. Before we hear the gospel, let us sing this next hymn, perhaps using it as a moment to ask his forgiveness for being quite as ridiculous as we are. The Gospel today is from the 6th chapter of Mark, and it's read to us by Fred from the King James Version, and you can hear the ticking of his clock in the background. I particularly love to hear the King James Version when I am trying to pause myself, trying to let go of that confidence that I know all things, and instead concentrate on what is truly being said. Easy words slide over our heads. The King James Version calls us to really pause and listen, and then unfolds this extraordinary tale.
And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but for the border of his garments, and as many as touched him were made whole.
You have to hope, don't you, that there was time for a little quiet on the boat, and perhaps a picnic, because as soon as Jesus and the disciples reach the shore, the crowds gather again, eager to hear his teaching. And we have this whole sense of movement, people milling like sheep without a shepherd, running through the whole country to carry their sick to him, so that wheresoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets. Our God pacing the landscape, out and free, ready to be spoken to, listened to, and as many as are touched by the border of his garment made whole. Can we find in all that brings healing and joy in our lives the person of that moving, striding Jesus? Can we recognise in the play of sunlight, the first cup of tea in the morning, the resolving of a difficult problem or relationship, the peaceful passing of one that we love? Can we find in those the face of Christ? Can we see in the food on our table, the coolness of water in the heat of the day, the joy of finally bedtime, of a friend's voice, a bird's voice, the brush of his robe as he walked by our side? If we could, if we can, two things might happen. Firstly, our lives become a miracle of gift. And in dark times, the pinpricks of light that shine become our focus rather than the shadows. And secondly, we will step up to nurture and help all that blesses us, because we know it is holy. We start to mind that the makers of the tea we drink are paid properly. We do what we can to nurture relationships. We hold one another in grief. We stop poisoning with microplastics and bleaches the wonder of water. We mind about the provenance of our food and what it is costing the earth and others that toil upon it. We nurture friendships and offer friendship where there is none. We take time to pause and wonder, and we tread the path lightly because it sustains us and should be there to sustain others also. If we begin to recognise Christ in our blessings, then we begin to pray that it could be Christ's robe that brushes against the people we meet, and we perhaps begin to recognise him in theirs. Can we let God out of a box out of just one book of hymns, out of one day of the week. Can we let God out and greet God in life itself? Let us pray that we can.
Scripture reading today, I'm deeply encouraged, and I hope you are too. We do set much store by our places of worship, but with a podcast, we are anywhere and everywhere able to hear that the Lord is with us through His Word. The Lord is to be found right where you are. Then let's bring our petition before Him. Redeemer Lord, grant us a heart to seek you, a mind to know you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, and faithful perseverance in seeking your wisdom for our lives. Holy Lord, we are mindful of humanity across the world, who depend on leaders of integrity in government, healthcare workers of every level, teachers and police and the armed service. Strengthen and support their resolve to serve with honour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, may there be opportunity in our daily lives this coming week to show by deed and action that knowing you in our lives makes a difference for good. May we be echoing your love and be a blessing to those we meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gathering our hopes and concerns together, let us say quite slowly the prayer our Lord taught in its traditional form. As we say in our hearts together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Anne's prayers were prepared earlier in the week, and I know that she would wish us to remember now, before God, those who have suffered in the recent floods in Europe. So let us take a moment of silence to do so. Of course, European countries affected by the floods are not the only ones to be suffering the effects of climate change. People across the globe, our global neighbours, have been struggling for some time. And our own horror at the fires in Canada and floods in Europe is understandable, perhaps, cultures similar to our own. But we know too that our sudden interest in it is shaming also. You know, my lovelies, we are going to have to step up about climate change. It can't just be a little hobby of the vicar's. It is going to be a huge challenge. And if we truly think we are commanded to love our neighbour, it would be good if we took focused action on behalf of the suffering of others rather than waiting till we ourselves are threatened. We need to start to rearrange our lives. We need to plan, and we need to expect and lobby our leaders locally and nationally to take action. There isn't actually a lot of time, but we as Christians can bring hope to this great challenge, because we believe that whoever and whenever they step up for good, they step up with Christ, with Jesus, who comes to save the world. We greet him when we join him in that work, and he welcomes us to it. Let us receive God's blessing together. May you know Christ walking at your side. May you feel his healing in your lives. And may his Spirit flow through you to those around you and beyond. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and the world in which you live. Amen. Our final hymn, Lord of all hopefulness.